Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami. Henry, do you have the verse number?
Yes, Maharaj. It's Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 26.
Okay. Let me just find that. Hare Krishna, Dhanadhar Swami, I'm back. What's happening is this is the end of Kartik. There are literally hundreds of thousands of people on the Parikram path. I was just sitting there by the front gate of the temple just chanting and just watching this river of bhakti flowing around God. That's the only way I can describe what happens. And just watching the people in the different paces and ages. And what I'm saying is, it just may be in a lot of phones, and sometimes the phone will drop. But my internet is working, so if there's any problem, it drops unknowingly, then you can call me. But it's great to be back. Last week was the daylight savings time, and it's only 7:30 here, but that's my bedtime, and I'm getting up at midnight, 1 o'clock the latest, and. What I just did is, I just went to bed, so I just woke up for the class, so I won't feel fatigued. Because sometimes when you give class and I'm practically sleeping, it's difficult. But how supremely glorified is the dynasty of King Yadu, and how virtuous is the land of Mathura, where the supreme leader of all living beings, the husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken his birth and wandered in his childhood. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's really, I've really been wonderful here at Govardhan. Inconceivably wonderful. You have at least 20 men living at the ISKCON Govardhan, and I'm right behind them, that are listening to Prabhupada's books 5 hours a day during Kartik. They went through the whole 11th canto, the whole 12th canto, the whole teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the whole Laghu Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami. And to be in that kind of association, it's just wonderful. It's just pure association. You're not meeting any of the baggage of other people's minds. You're just meeting their pure hearts. And it's very, 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 very inspiring. Very inspiring to just be in a pure atmosphere, elevated consciousness. And old school, old time, we all take prasadam together. And the prasadam is more than first class. It's more than first class. It's amazing. And it's just rice, dal, chapati, and three or four sub-G's, and just khichdi in the morning. Just the kind of sangha we're having. And, you know, I explained before, the nature of my mind, I get up at midnight, and I in the afternoon I have my own class. The morning is not so good for me, but to go to that class. But I can see the effect, and I do, by their influence, just read and hear for a half hour in the morning when I wake up. And it's a new revelation, because although some of the points are not, on one sense, intellectually stimulating, they're very deep. They're simple points sometimes. Some are intellectually stimulating. Simple points that are very, very deep. And I'm just relishing just every verse that you may have known before, et cetera. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful atmosphere. And here we're in the point where Krishna is leaving. And therefore, we're seeing the two embankments that cause the river of devotion to rise to the highest level called rasa. And that's union and separation. And now we're seeing the separation of the residents of Hastinapur. We've seen the separation as Krishna's leaving, Queen Kunti's mood, and Yudhisthira's mood. And through that separation, we're seeing the love of the devotees. Love is in the heart, but we access it when it is expressed by those who have such love in the heart, whether it's kirtan, it's expressed through the discipline of music, or whether it's prayers, it's accessed by the by beautiful poetry. We get access to that heart. And we get access to the very thing that pleases Krishna, which is his love, when expressed through the faculties of the mind, the body, or the words, which is called seva. We see the seva of the great devotees. We're getting access we're getting access to the internal potency, which has been put into the devotee's heart. And we're seeing the beauty of that, and we're gaining the inspiration to get that ourselves. So we'll read from the purport, which is also another type of ecstasy. Prabhupada said they're his personal ecstasies. So we're actually getting to see through the purports, we're actually getting to experience and feel the devotion of Prabhupada. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has expressively given a description of his transcendental appearance, disappearance, and activities. The Lord appears in a particular family or place by his inconceivable potency. He does not take his birth as a conditioned soul quits his body and accepts another body. His birth is like the appearance and disappearance of the sun. The sun arises on the eastern horizon, but that does not mean that the eastern horizon is the parent of the sun. The sun is existent in every part of the solar system, but he becomes visible at a scheduled time, and so also becomes invisible at another scheduled time. Similarly, the Lord appears in this universe like the sun, and again leaves our sight at another time. He exists at all times and at every place, but by his causeless mercy, when we appear before us, we take it for granted that he has taken his birth. So, you know, they're praying. Oh, Alam. Oh, how true this is. That God is transcendental. Divyam. That God's relationship with matter is that he's the controller of matter. He's not controlled by matter. And therefore, birth, which is generally a product of the force of the material energy, we should not be prejudiced and superimpose our experience of birth on God's birth, because it's a different category. And the example is given of the sun, who takes birth on the horizon. But it's not a question of, it's just an appearance of birth. It's an appearance that the sun is manifesting. It's always manifesting. And in the same way as the sun, what a beautiful example. The sun is simultaneously at every point of the day and night. It is only from our perspective that it's 6 o'clock, or it's dawn, or it's noon, or that refers to our perspective of the sun, but not the absolute position of the sun. The sun is always full in itself. So the sun is in all aspects of time, simultaneously. So similarly, it is with Krishna. He's in all aspects of his lila simultaneously. He's always taking birth. He's always killing the Kaliya serpent. He's always leaving the world. But that's just from our perspective. And we shouldn't take our relative view and superimpose it on the absolute position of God. Otherwise, you won't understand him and you won't love him. One time I heard this Brahmananda somehow, maybe it was Guru Kripa, you know, Prabhupada asked them, what is the most important verse in the Gita? and they were giving so many things. And Prabhupada said, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tatvataha Tatva Deham Puna Janma Naiti Mam Eti Sojana. Anyone who can understand this truth in terms of the statements of the revealed scripture certainly becomes liberated just after quitting the present body. So Prabhupada just paraphrased that verse and basically meaning when you understand God, you will worship God. Or when you come to the point of understanding God, you're liberated. Liberation is obtainable after many births and after great endeavor in patience and perseverance and knowledge or renunciation. But simply by knowing in truth about the Lord's transcendental birth and activities, one can get liberation at once. See, this is an interesting concept of the devotee liberation, becoming free from the bondage of the material world. It's such a difficult thing because we're so conditioned. We have so many coverings of impulses in our mind, so many material desires. It's almost impossible to become liberated. It's so many births by patience, perseverance, knowledge, renunciation. But in bhakti, the process is simple. Application is difficult. Process is simple means you have to surrender. And it's difficult because you have to accept a authority greater than your own. And everything in the material world is revolving around our consciousness of trying to be authority greater than everyone else. That's what all politics is about. Trying to be an authority greater than everyone else. So once you accept God, and it's not just intellectually won't happen without heart. Once you accept God fully and surrender, you're liberated. It's simple. We can do it right now. Saying to God, Guru, from this day I am yours. That's the challenge of spiritual life. We're chanting Hare Krishna, we're going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into our consciousness. That's what we'll have to confront. And that's what's so difficult about bhakti. Simply by knowing in truth about the Lord's transcendental birth and activities, one can get liberation at once. That is the verdict of the Bhagavad Gita. But those who are in the darkness of ignorance conclude that the Lord's birth and activities in the material world are similar to those of an ordinary living being. It's not just their intellect. Their intellect is perverted by their desires to enjoy and control. And you don't hear what you don't like. And that's almost an axiomatic fact. When the ego rules. And I wrote about that in my journals. You try to tell someone you're wrong. We don't like to be wrong. because psychologically that creates some, that reduces our control and power of the world. We don't hear, we can't accept. That is the verdict of the Bhagavad Gita, but those who are in the darkness of ignorance conclude, okay, such imperfect conclusions cannot give anyone liberation. His birth there in the family of King Yadu is the son of King Vasudev, and his transfer into the family of Nanda Maharaj in the land of Mathura are all transcendental arrangements made by the internal potency of the Lord. The fortunes of the Yadu dynasty and that of the inhabitants of the land of Mathura cannot be materially estimated. If simply by knowing the transcendental nature of the birth and activities of the Lord, one gets liberation easily, we can just imagine what is in store for those who actually enjoyed the company of the Lord in person, as a family member or as a neighbor. All those who were fortunate enough to associate with the Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, certainly obtain something more than what is known as liberation. Therefore, rightly, the land, the dynasty and the land are both ever glorious by the grace of the Lord. We can't imagine or fathom what it means to have a relationship with God. We can't even fathom what it means, what God means. Vedanta tat tattva vidas tattva yajnanam advayam, consciousness which is non-dual, which is inclusive of everything, who doesn't have the defect of personality, of whom one of the transcendental attributes is a form that expresses love personally to his separated parts and parcels, the living entities. And that contact and that acceptance and that feeling of relationship with reality, the feeling of relationship with reality, the prayojana of the goal is called prema. And that feeling is the Lord's pleasure potency. So we can imagine pleasures and happiness in the world, but what is the pleasure of God? God, who is all powerful. And by nature, who wants to enjoy and has the capacity to enjoy by his own internal potency of love, which is put in our hearts and expressed to God so that we feel that same energy. So what is the fortune of someone who understands that and who attains a liberation to be with that? Muktir hitva yata rupam sarupena vivastita. Text 27. Aho patasva yashasas taraskare pasyanti nityam yaranu graheshitam smitavalokam swapatim smayat praja. Undoubtedly, it is wonderful that Varaka has defeated the glories of the heavenly planets and has enhanced the celebrity of the earth. The inhabitants of Dwarka are always seeing the soul of all living beings, Krishna, in his loving feature. He glances at them and favors them with sweet smiles. So now, the previous verse, he talked about Matara, how wonderful it was. Ed, Krishna's going to go now back to Dwarka. And again, the inhabitants of Dwarka are seeing the soul of all living beings. Swapatim, the soul of all living beings. And he relates to them and favors them. Again, this is our goal, to have this relationship with Krishna. Purport. The heavenly planets are inhabited by demigods like Indra, Chandra, Varuna, and Vayu, and the pious souls reach there after performance of many virtuous acts on Earth. Modern scientists agree that the timing arrangement in higher planetary systems is different from that of the Earth. Thus, it is understood from the revealed scriptures that the duration of life there is 10,000 years by our calculation. 6 months on Earth is equal to one day on the heavenly planets. Facilities of enjoyment are also similarly enhanced, and the beauty of the inhabitants is legendary. Common men on the earth are very much fond of reaching the heavenly planets because they've heard that comforts of life are far greater than on the earth. They're now trying to reach the moon by spacecraft. Considering all this, the heavenly planets are more celebrated than the earth. But the celebrity of earth has defeated that of the heavenly planets because of Dwarka, where Lord Krishna reigned as king. So, somehow trying to give us a glorification of the Lord's abode, which manifests here on earth. Three places, namely Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, are more important than the famous planets within the universe. These places are perpetually sanctified because whenever the Lord descends to earth, he displays his transcendental activities, particularly in those three places. I'm here in Govardhan from an external view. Sometimes, you know, it's not the heavenly planet. An external view. We go out and we turn left from our ashram, and then somehow or other, after we go for about 50 yards, there's just a cesspool. And then after that, you get into the forest of Govardhan. It's beautiful, but I would trade this for the heavenly planets because there's a sweetness of love here. The heavenly planets has a sweetness of enjoyment, material enjoyment. But this sweetness of love in that heart is so much higher. And one who lives here and chants Hare Krishna and practices devotion here does not want the heavenly planets. Because the highest pleasure is not control, but it's service. And Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka are the places of the Lord's service. They're perpetually the holy lands of the Lord. And the inhabitants still take advantage of the holy places, even though the Lord is now out of sight. The Lord is the soul of all living beings, and he desires always to have all the living beings in their sarup, in their constitutional position, to participate in transcendental life in his association. That's why he comes. He wants to inspire us to want to be who we are. And we're only not who we are because we don't want to be who we are, not understanding the glories of who we are, somehow or other. So bhakti is just a process of desiring to be ourselves. Prabhupada gives the analogy of a very rich man's son who leaves home. And somehow, not wanting the authority of his benevolent father, he'd rather go out on his own and suffers. And he suffers for want of money, he suffers for want of love, he suffers for so many things. But all he has to do is go back. All we have to do is say, from this day on, I am yours. And give up our independence, our false independence. Because we are dependent. His attractive sweet features and sweet smiles go deep into the heart of everyone. And once it is so done, the living being is admitted into the kingdom of God from which no one returns. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. The heavenly planets may be very famous for offering better facilities of material enjoyment, but as we learn from the Bhagavad Gita 9:20-21, one has to come back to the earth as soon as the acquired virtue is finished. Dwarka is certainly more heaven-important than the heavenly planets, because whoever has been favored with the smiling glance of the Lord shall never come back again to this rotten earth, which is certified by the Lord himself as a place of misery. Anything imposed on one has to be maintained by great effort. And therefore won't last. It's like a lie. It has to be maintained by great effort. It can't stay. The truth can stay. The truth can stay. Or let's say, a man wants to be a woman, or a woman wants to be a man. It's great effort for that, because it's not what they were born with. So we are, by constitution, the servants of God. And once we want that and attain that, we can have that. There's no effort to maintain something that is natural. So to be the enjoyers and the controllers, it's artificial. It's not who we are. And therefore, it's not permanent. Any person engaged In the devotional service, the Lord is recommended to live in one of the above-mentioned places, three places, namely Dwarka, Mathura, or Vrindavan, because devotional service in these three places is magnified, and those who go there to follow the principles in terms of instructions imparted in the revealed scripture surely achieve the same result as obtained during the presence of Lord Krishna. His abode and he himself are identical, and a pure devotee under the guidance of another experienced devotee can obtain all these results even at the presence. We're having a drop of that realization here. It certainly is the lap of Krishna. Okay. Are there any questions?
Haribo, Maharaj.
Haribo, Chaitanya Priya. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I do have a question.
Go ahead, ask.
Thank you. As we get older, things start to decrease in efficiency, materially, and we think about this. At least, let me just speak for myself. I think about this sometimes of doing exactly what you said just now, following that advice from the scriptures and others who have experienced it, to go to Vrindavan or Mathura or one of these places to really become totally absorbed in the process of bhakti. And at the same time, I have this constant urge to do more service of preaching and teaching to others in the world, because it is so evident that it is so needed, and to help them get out of some of that physical suffering that they can even begin to think. So it's like a constant juxtaposition, and fortunately I have a good health and I am able to do this even as I get older, but I am wondering which way to go. What really should I be following at this point?
Well, ultimately what bhakti is the will of God. And we have to pray sincerely, like Prabhupada left Vrindavan to preach Krishna consciousness even in his old age. But at the same time, you know, what are we preaching? We're preaching that one should attain love of Godhead. So the movement becomes successful when people attain love of Godhead. And because Vrindavan has a great facility to do that, it's also a recommended place to go. So, what you're saying is, it's six of one and half a dozen of another. I'm here in Vrindavan because my service carries me to Vrindavan. You know, not just here to enjoy Vrindavan, my service carries me to Vrindavan. But there are other people that also that even their service is to retire in Vrindavan, that they're not preachers, they're not having that scope of inspiration and facility to enact something. But even in Vrindavan, they can actually do service too. I think it's just a personal decision, but both facts are there, that the highest thing is service, and Vrindavan facilitates that immensely. But it's better to be in, you know, America thinking of Vrindavan than being in Vrindavan thinking of America. So it's ultimately the consciousness what's important, the thoughts of Krishna. What here is said in the purport, there's great facilities to do so, and we can take advantage of them. And you know, and Prabhupada's pointing that out strongly. But it's also context relevance. He's pointing it out strongly that it's recommended to live in these places. But if you asked him what is more important, he would say that service is most important. And it's being recommended to increase devotional service. But if going decreases devotional service, then it's better to stay where we are. But we have to see, because it's not just the International Society for Introducing People to Krishna Consciousness, it's the International Society for Being Krishna Consciousness. So as important as it is to give Krishna Consciousness, it's just as important to be Krishna conscious. So,
right.
You know, we have to weigh both. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna. Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hi, Bo, Gail. Yeah, hi, Bo.
Are we out of time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
You have said that Krishna has certified this place as a place of misery. And so that sounds like a very absolute statement. So I'm thinking about something that I often hear that, you know, if you're trying to enjoy this world independently, selfishly, then you will experience misery because that's not our nature. But if you are in this world trying to relate to it for Krishna's service and pleasure, then even though you're here in this world, you know, you would not be miserable. You know, like Srila Prabhupada, he was in this world of misery, but he was not miserable. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, I'll answer it. Well, Prabhupada said, this is no place for a gentleman,
mm-hmm.
The world. It's no place for a gentleman. So that's a fact. It's a place where the facility is given for people to forget God. So obviously, the only reason for a person to be here is to help those people who have forgotten God. And in that sense, then Narayana Prasarve Nikutas Chanya Bibhyati Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu Apituryate Darshana. In that sense, that those who are Narayana Parayana, those who love God, then it doesn't matter. Wherever they're serving, then that's the best place. And that's called Prabhu Datta Desh, your place of service. But we shouldn't think that the place itself is okay. It's like when Nityananda, they said, goes in a bar, don't think that he's a drunk. He's going there to deliver the people. So yes, it is a place of misery. And a devotee can go into a place of misery as servants. And therefore, Vairagya Yug Bhakti Rasampiyatnaya Paya Mamana Bipsamandam Kripambhudiyab or Dukaduki Sanatanistam Prabhamasyami. Paradukaduki, the great soul, has no suffering but the suffering of others. So yes, the great soul is not suffering, but he's only suffering for others in that miserable place.
Okay, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Bo. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
So I'll see you at least for 4 or 5 days. I'm so happy we'll be together in the Dham.
We're so thrilled.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. We'll just end now. Vanchakalpa Dubhisattva.